Blog Talk Radio.
Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. I'd like to thank you for coming in, whether you're coming in now or if you've come in on the archives. And I'm sure you found the show on a multiple of ways. One is Blog Talk Radio itself. One is also on the Facebook app, Newt Now. And the way that you could find that also, along with other shows that are part of the conservative conversation, is you can go to either Facebook and put Newt Now in the search engine and put it in as one word, And that would just take you straight to the page where, maybe a few more buttons, but that'll take you to the page where you will also find Mark Prasik's show, which is a live video chat, and that is from midnight until 2 a.m., and then he has a show prep part, which is from 10 a.m. to midnight. Then you could also find Samuel Sanford's show, and that is from 10 p.m. till midnight, sometimes to 1 a.m. Then, of course, then you have Bard's Logic Political Talk, which, of course, is from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and these are all Eastern times. Then you also see Charlotte Dively's show, which I believe is 9 to 10 p.m., and that is Pray USA. Now, one show that is not on there, but also is one we support, is the Tex and Rex show, which you'll find on Friday and Saturday evenings on Blog Talk Radio, and that is from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, tonight's show, I thought, it would be nice for the people who come into the chat and people call in and the listeners to, if they would like, to openly promote either their blog or website or, show if they have one, or, what have you. Projects that even have fundraisers that they're working on, or a website, whichever reason they, whatever thing they've got, as long as it's within reason. So people, if they'd like to call in, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. And also, forgot to mention earlier, is you can also find the show through this show's new website. You can find the website on the homepage of the show. And also you can find a little button that says follow. So if you like the show, go ahead and follow it. Just click that little follow button underneath the show's icon. And I'd really appreciate that. And also on the homepage, the website, some of the things you will find is on the first page, it's the introductory page, of the show, and where it has just different pages. And the second you'll see about the show, which I briefly discussed, the times and the days of the show, and the different themes of the show, which is Sunday through Tuesday is definitely political talk. And also on Wednesdays, like tonight, I help folks promote their websites or their shows or their books or authors. I've had authors on the show. I've had, business owners on the show, people with blogs on the show. And next Thursday, I have a very special guest who is going to be coming on next Thursday, which Thursdays are normally dedicated towards environmental issues, but she has an interest in environmental protection. Thus, I thought it would be a good night to have her on. And if you were here in the beginning of the show, you've heard part of her work. And her name is Aubrey Ashburn. Now, Aubrey Ashburn has done, she's an award-winning vocalist and songwriter that has a lot of credits in many video games, such as Dragon Age, Alice in Wonderland, Avatar, Rift, and there was a Lord of the Rings. Those aren't in order, but those are some of the video games that she has worked on. And so, and as I said, from 2006 until 2011, she's won many awards as well. And she will be on. She's agreed to do an interview next Thursday. So we're really looking forward to that. And a good run-up to the show is I have an author who is one of two authors who wrote a series of books called The Chronicles of Shandahar, and those are fantasy fiction novels, and there's two authors, but one of which we're still seeing if the his co-author would be able to come on with them, but they are going to be on next, or he is going to be on, and hopefully they will be on next Wednesday night's show. So that's going to be a pretty blockbuster, pretty exciting two nights there, and I welcome everyone to come in. So one of the things I was going to tell and put in for the show tonight, promotion for the show tonight, is if you do call in for the new guests who I see coming into the chat, If you do call in at area code 347-945-7428, and if you have something like a fundraiser or a book or a website, after discussing the show, I will pick one of the people, one of the people who's done their promotions, and I will place that on the website, such as, for example, if it's a fundraiser, and of course it has to be something in the realm of something I would support. If it's a fundraiser for something, you know, that wouldn't be reasonable. I can't see if many that would not be. But I'm not a Mitt Romney fan, so if someone tries to, you know, have me do a donation or the Mitt Romney's campaign or something like that, I won't do that. That's one thing I won't do. But if they have a website or a book or something, we can connect up, and I will promote it on my website for about a week, not quite a full week, but so that might be a little interest of people. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is definitely an organic show that we're going to run tonight. And to give you an example of that, I'm going to scroll down my audio clips here, and I will look for a clip that I would play in the beginning of one of my shows to illustrate some of the things that I have had on here. Now, recently I found this one clip, and recently I had on a person that, at least people who were Newt Gingrich supporters or are Newt Gingrich supporters might be familiar with, and that is Ann Newsom. Now, Ann Newsom was the phone team captain of the Newt Gingrich grassroots campaign, but also became one of the leaders in the grassroots campaign also after the South Carolina victory. And her and her husband have a food blog called the Saturday Evening Pot. And also on the website, you can find a link to a article that I wrote, which was 3 Ways to Be Green in the Kitchen. So you could also find that on the website under the Green Conservatism page. But I will play a clip, and there is a pun intended, to give people a flavor of what I do here on Wednesday nights. And this clip is her husband, Ann Newsom's husband, here on how to dice an onion. And I'll play the whole clip, you know, while I wait for others to chime in, or if someone calls in or chimes in before the clip is over because they have something that they would like to promote, then I'll stop the audio so we can get to the live portion. So I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Saturday Evening Pot. Today we'd like to feature the first episode in a new series we're starting on the website called The Chef's Table. It was very common when I was in culinary school and in restaurant circles for the executive chef to have his own prep table, and no one was allowed to do any work on that table or produce anything in the kitchen except the executive chef. And me being the chef on the Saturday Evening Pot, I'm going to take liberties here in my own kitchen. The purpose of these vignettes is to show you some tips and tricks that I picked up in culinary school and in the restaurant business with the hope to make your culinary experience easier, to make cooking more enjoyable. So we'll hope you'll stop by often, and we look forward to seeing you again. Thank you. Welcome to the first episode and the first training tip at the Chef's Table. Today we're going to talk about a quick and easy way to dice an onion. Here at the Saturday Evening Pot, we do a lot of low country cuisine and southern cooking. We utilize onions on a regular basis. I'm going to show you 2 ways to cut an onion. The first way is the classic method, which I learned at Johnson & Wales University. I find this technique cumbersome. I find it time consuming. And in my years at the resort, working in the banquets and catering department, I learned a much quicker and easier way. Now, as in any business, in the restaurant business, time is money. So the quicker you can produce food, the quicker you can turn tables, the quicker you can feed people, and the more people you can feed in a certain period of time, the more money you're going to make. So let's get started. What I have here is 2 sweet Vidalia onions from South Georgia. This is my favorite onion. It's not as sharp, it's not as bitter, it has a rather mellow taste. But I'm going to show you the classic way that I learned in culinary school first. First thing we're going to do is we're going to trim the head off. And then we're going to trim the what they call the butt off. This is the root side of the onion. I'll move these trimmings over to my scrap table here. We're then going to peel the onion. What I do is make a small notch like this, starting from the top and from the bottom. And then using my fingers, we're just going to pull a very thin layer of the onion off. Now, some would say, well, what about waste? Well, in the scheme of things, this is minimal, so I wouldn't worry about it. Okay, now we have the cleaned, peeled, and trimmed onion. Now, in culinary school, what they taught me to do in the first lab was to take your knife and your cutting hand, hold the onion firmly with your offhand, which in my case is my left hand. And the first thing you're going to do in order to do a dice, which is a small square cut of an onion, you're going to take the knife and you're going to cut slices down into the onion, but not all the way through, equal distance across the onion. So we're going to go across like this. I'm going to do a medium dice on this one because it's easier. The bigger the cut, the easier it is to do. You're then going to turn the onion 90 degrees, and then you're going to cut again, not going all the way through the onion. Now the camera's not going to allow you to see this, but what I have is perfectly square pieces of onion, and I have a crosshatch pattern of cuts in the top of the vegetable. Then what we would do is just turn the onion up on its side, grip it in a claw grip, and just slice. And as you can see, you have perfectly square diced pieces of onion. Okay, now, what if you didn't want to use the whole onion? Well, you've got the onion already pre-cut to a certain size. And trying to mash this up and continue doing with this just proved to be cumbersome. There's a lot of cuts in this move, and there's a lot of, it just seems slow. So I'm going to show you the way that I was taught at the resort by the executive chef there. Let's move this to the side, and let's put this up in the corner. Okay, now, this is how I was taught to cut or to dice an onion. And I'm going to show you a medium dice, and I'm going to show you a small dice. First step is exactly the same. You're going to cut the head off, but you're going to keep your knife planted firmly to the cutting board, and you're going to turn the onion back. And if you'll notice, I just removed a small piece of the peel. Okay? Let's move that to the side. Then we're going to do the same thing with the butt end of the onion, which is the root end. Keep your planted and remove. Then we're going to take the onion, instead of peeling it now like in the first way, we're just going to cut the onion in half like this. Lay your knife down. Now look how easy it is to peel it. No small cuts, no trimming, no runs, no drips, no errors, like Johnny Bench used to say. So what we have now are two halves of an onion, and if you'll notice, they kind of look like a mountain. Here's where it gets simple. First thing we're going to do is take the half of the onion, we're going to set it up in a mountain. You notice it's on a flat surface, it's good and firm, it's not going to move. The first thing we're going to do is a medium dice. We're going to turn the onion like this, we're going to hold it in a claw grip with our offhand. We're going to put the chef's knife on top of the onion, then we're going to fold our offhand over the onion and over the knife, gripping the onion firmly, and then we're just going to do slices all the way through the onion. Alright. Now, I have the mountain, if you will, or the half onion. I have four equal slices all the way through. The second step is to take your offhand and grip the onion very firmly between your thumb and index finger. You're then going to take your knife and your cutting hand, you're going to put the point of your knife on firmly on the cutting board, and then you're just going to do slices. And you're going to slice until you get to the top of the mountain. You see, I'm right at the middle of the hump. You're going to move your onion over, and then you're just going to flip it down. And you're going to continue to slice. And there you have it. You still have the good equal cuts in the dice design, but to me, it's a lot faster. Alright, last thing I want to do, that was a medium dice. This is a petite dice. I just want to show you the variations. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to put our chef's knife on top of the onion, fold our offhand over, holding the onion firmly, and we're going to do real thin slices this time. And as you can tell, I've made about twice to three times as many slices across the width of the onion as I did before. We're also going to, again, we're going to turn the onion 90 degrees. We're going to hold it with our offhand very firmly, because if the slices slip, you're going to have a mess. So hold it firmly, and then we're going to slice in an even smaller pattern. Working our way up to the summit of the mountain, we're going to scoot it over, flip it down, and complete your dice. And there you have it. The same result, but in my opinion, a much easier and quick process. Because as we all know, time is money. We appreciate it, and thank you for watching, and we'll hope you'll come back soon.
Okay, folks, and that was Ann Newsom's husband, Ann Newsom from South Carolina, who was really worked hard in her contributions to help Newt Gingrich during the campaign. And speaking of Newt Gingrich, this next person I'm going to have on really doesn't need any introductions, but I'll do so anyway. It's going to be Samuel Samford. He also has a blog talk radio show, which is Constitutional Conservatives Unite. And you can find him on Blog Talk Radio at 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time. And without further ado, I will let in Sammy.
Oh, hey.
And hey, Sammy.
I just want to tell people, if they're going to be cutting up an onion like that, they better have it razor sharp, because a knife will kick out and cut their hand. As being a former sous chef back in my very young days, and what a sous chef is, that's an assistant chef. You got to be very careful if your knife's not sharp, because you're going to cut the daylights out of your hand. Getting on small businesses and so forth, and apply it to our political situation. Me and my brother were in real estate. We had 34 properties. All the property, I joined in with him later on, and the market went south on the real estate. Total collective wealth of the properties was about $3 million. Then I got unemployed, and we had to drop our rents. So I had to sell out to my brother. And now he owns all the rental properties. I mean, he's making enough. I mean, he was already a multimillionaire anyway.
Oh, wow.
He bought all the properties back during the 90s. And I took a lick in there. And now I am stuck with nothing, because Barack Obama says he does not, says the government created the small businesses. That little lady, I forgot her name, running for the U.S. Senate up there in Massachusetts, running against Scott Brown, says the government is the one that created the small businesses, and which is false lie.
There's a lot of cartoons that came out about that, Sammy. It was kind of funny. It's like, hey, wait a minute, you didn't create that. Oh, you didn't create that. I can't remember any one specific cartoon, but I know there's a lot of them where you have a cartoon, and then like in the corner on the top or something, you have Obama's head popped in and says, you can't do that, or sir, you didn't create that, or something like that. It was kind of funny.
Oh, exactly. And And we got somebody from Massachusetts. He has not made the idiot mistake yet, but I'm sure it's to come because he has made a bunch of idiot mistakes, a.k.a. the Etch-a-Sketch candidate. But when our small businesses are in danger, the American public is in danger. Because the American small businesses are under attack by Obamacare. And the mandates that just came out today saying they got to pay for insurance has to provide contraception protection 100%. They got to pay for mammograms 100%. They got to pay for men's tests for, I forgot what they call that, that blood work they do for you to see if you have prostate cancer. And there's a bunch of other regulations that were just enacted today. And thanks to Judge Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, we are stuck with them.
Well, from my understanding, I thought they weren't going to implement anything from the Obamacare till 2013.
No, this is all in effect today. What I just told you about, and now if you're on a current insurance plan, it will not roll over until you're, you know, with most companies, every year you have a...
Right. Re-sign up.
Open enrollment is what they call it.
Right.
Open enrollment.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
And until each company that has insurance, when they're open enrollment, in which most companies normally have their open enrollment around May or June, almost every company I've ever worked for has always been May. But if your company has an open enrollment and from August now till next May, it's going to affect you right away, and they're going to have to jack your premiums up to cover for this mandatory 100% coverage. And that's where it's going to hurt small businesses. It's going to jack up their premiums that the employers have to pay and that the individuals that are on the plan. The company I belonged on the plan, I paid $400. I was paying $400 back in 2010 every 2 weeks, and the employee only contributed partially to my personal insurance, but not to my family plan, which included my wife and at that time we had the family plan, which I had my son on there too.
Well, tell you what, since we're talking about businesses here, my I'm not a big union guy, but let me tell you, my wife belongs. She works for Kroger's. And we actually use her health insurance because Kroger's has a phenomenal, maybe not phenomenal,
oh,
but a very good insurance program, which I must admit I'm very happy to have. I mean, even their family plan, which we have, you know, us and our daughter, my daughter, it's ours because she's the stepmom, you know what I mean, on the plan. So Kroger's, give a kudos to there. And I, since we're going to promote businesses here, I'm in no way affiliated with Kroger's except that my wife works there. But anyone who wants to shop, please shop at Kroger's, because I tell you what, they really do treat, especially their long-term employees, pretty well.
Well, you know, I was telling you about probably a week or two ago, Kevin from California. He works for Kroger out in California.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Kevin.
Yeah, and out there, their union is the Teamsters union. And
yeah, I don't know who they use here in Ohio, but they're really good here in Ohio.
Yep. And Kevin was, the main thing he's really pissed off about is his union dues going to make a political statement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
And, I mean, I am so anti-union. I mean, they've come down south every time Publix opened up a new store down here in South, probably 7 or 8 years ago. You would see union protesters out there with signs protesting because they would not let them become union, but because most of your southern states are right-to-work states. But if you're full-time at Publix, they do give you an awesome benefit package. But, I mean, my son works for Walmart. They give them good benefit package. He's full-time, even at part-time. When he was part-time, they gave him the opportunity to get good health care insurance. But now since my son's married and I got a grandson, my daughter-in-law and my son and my grandson live here in my house, as well as my daughter and my awesome granddaughter, Jazzy Girl, and my awesome oldest son, Chris.
Well, yeah, I know people rail a lot on Walmart, and I must admit it's not my favorite place to shop. Just the only thing I really don't like about Walmart is everything you flip around says made, and pretty much everything that you flip over says made in China on it, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, but.
They used to have the policy saying made in America.
I'll tell you what, I've almost do black backflips and jumps for joy when I see something that says made in America on it.
Exactly. But, I mean, the small business owner is being attacked by Obamacare and by Barack Obama. And I really do not expect Mitt Romney to change that. And we have to promote small businesses because without small businesses, this country will not survive. Plain and simple.
Right, yeah, very large portion of the workforce is definitely small businesses.
70%.
I'm sorry.
70% of the U.S. workforce in all new jobs come from small businesses.
Yep, they're very important block of the of the workforce, as I said. And so that's one of the reasons why I do pick a night, and for me it's Wednesday nights where we do move away from politics a little bit, and then. Help promote people's show. I mean, politics always seems to creep its way into everything. It's just, the nature of how things are. Promote, people who are authors or playwrights or people with businesses or, shows, such as mine or yours or, I've got someone who...
Agreed 100%. I mean, sometimes we got to get away from the Newt Gingrich money bomb or the Robert Getters.
I don't have any initiatives right now. I don't have any initiatives. Go ahead.
That happens to me too. So, and that's the reason I'm here.
I appreciate it. If you want to put a plug on what your show is about tonight, Sammy, go ahead.
Tonight is going to be. Keep Newt in, Money Bomb, and I was hoping to have an awesome pastor from Jacksonville, Florida, but he has not responded, and tomorrow morning I will call him personally since he told me one time he didn't check his email for a couple of days. Hopefully we'll have him on here tomorrow night.
Right.
But we're out here standing up for freedom. Standing up for small businesses and get the government out of our life, because without small businesses, our country is screwed. and there's one candidate that understands that all. And you know who that is. That is Mr. Speaker Newt Gingrich.
Yes, yes it is.
Yeah, and yes, we're getting into politics, but sometimes you got to bring politics in when you're talking about to the business.
Oh, sure. No,
community.
I agree with that. As I said, you know, politics does seem to get its way in because, well, let's be honest here. Politics affects every aspect of our life.
I mean, my wife and I went from bringing home about $75,000 to $80,000 a year. Now we're bringing in less than $25,000 a year, and that's really hard. I mean, you go from having a lot of money and you want to go do what you want to do. And yes, my health plays a part of it, but if I still had a job, I would still be working it. I mean, I would force myself to get out of the bed and get out there and work, regardless of my cancer. And it's a shame that our country's come this far. And we have shut down the small businesses under Barack Obama. And he does not, as you heard him say, you did not create the jobs. We created the business. And
right,
which is a bunch of garbage.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, you know, on this show on a Wednesdays, I'm, you know, trying to, you know, help people with, you know, as I said, they're authors or, you know, playwrights or their own small business or blog. Or tonight, what might be a little different than my other Wednesday nights is, one, it's open promotion. Normally I have someone who, you know, comes in to specifically speak about, or a number. Usually it's one or two folks that come in to speak specifically about their business or website or what have you. But tonight, if I, you know, let's open it up to the audience, let the audience chime in. And if they'd like to chime in with either a business or a blog they have or a website or, anything of that nature, a play, or it doesn't even have to be theirs. If it's one that they know of or they're a part of and they'd like to promote it, they can go ahead and call in too or chime in about it in the chat and I'll convey it to the audience. And that is area code 347-945-7428. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Sammy, is if someone comes in and talk about, you know, one of those things I've mentioned, I have an open slot on my website to, promote their show or, you know, whatever it is. So I'll promote it for about a week. And also I have a section on the website, this show's website, where it hasn't been developed yet, but it's still there for development, in which I can put certain people that, you know, or certain organizations that are doing fundraisings. I have a give page on the website, which is something I haven't talked about before. We'll talk about the website, but I don't have anything on there now. But if, you know, if there's a fundraiser or an organization that I agree with, I will be putting that on the website to give people access to be able to, you know, get to those organizations or what have you to help out in the fundraising.
That's awesome, Robert. I mean, and we got to help out organizations. And the one thing that separates the USA from the rest of the world, the USA, the American citizen, are the most giving citizens for disasters around the world. They are the most giving to disasters in our own country. And that
right.
shows,
yeah,
you,
that's, you, know,
that shows you.
Yeah, there's an audio clip. I don't have it. I do not believe I have it on me, and I really wish I do on, you know, in my, what am I looking for? Well, what am I looking for? My audio clips, I just put it. I don't have them. I don't have this one. I do have it saved on the computer. I just have to upload it into my audio clip file for the show, which actually talks about America. And I really need to do that because right now would have been a great opportunity to to share that that clip. And it's also not even on this computer; it's on a different one. But I wanted to, one thing I like to do on the show, Sam, is I know you know, is I like to read what people have in the chat, and there are, especially because you know very well, Sammy, that you know these are archived as well, so people can come back later to you know talk on the show, you know, or listen to the show. Is that Iron Fist put some links up for people, because I mentioned earlier about Made in the USA, and I really appreciate Iron Fist's input in putting this up there. And I'll read them slower because it is for the benefit of people who are listening to it on the archives as well. But one good thing about the archives also is that, you know, they can always rewind it. You know what I mean, Sam?
I know what you mean.
So the first link is http://made. Made, I probably guess I don't have to do that. I could just read the website because that's what it gets to. But it is madeinusaforever.com, and it's all one word spelled that way, madeinusaforever.com, all letters, no numbers. Okay. And the second one is www.americansworking.com, americansworking.com. That's all one word. And then the third one is www.madeinusa.org, and that's madeinusa.org. And then we have the fourth one is www.madeinusaproductsstore, and that's www.madeinusaproducts, that's multiple with an S, store, so it's two S's back to back, just to let the people know when they're spelling it out. It's products, you know, with an S, and then store, so two S's there. So thank you very much, Iron Fist. I really appreciate you putting up there, and hopefully people in the audience will listen, that we hear those links and visit them, and you know, and you buy some things that you can made in the United States. Thank you very much, Iron Fist. I really appreciate it. So go ahead, Sam.
Amen. Yeah, now we got to promote products made in the USA, and I'm sorry when Sam Walton died that Walmart deviated from that. I mean, they are the largest corporation in the world. Walmart is in I don't know how many countries, and they would have been the greatest corporation to keep on promoting Made in the USA. I mean, there's Walmarts all over Europe. There's some of them in the Far East. I'm not sure about the Middle East, but I know they're in the Far East and they're in Europe and the United States. I think they're in like about 70 different countries. But what would have been better than an American company promoting American products.
Right.
And, I mean, it just blows me away. And now we got a president that wants to force regulations on companies to force them either to go out of business or go overseas. And if I was a business owner and I was making, say, $1 million a year profit for myself, but I had to pay insurance for people, which was being mandated to me, heck yes, I would take my business to a foreign country so I could keep on making a profit.
Go ahead, Robert.
I don't mind, if I was a big business owner, I would not mind providing part of their salary, their health insurance. But when you've got a government mandating to you as a small business owner, I mean, if you're making $1 million a year, you're still a small business owner. You're not a big corporation, and I'm sorry, get the heck out of our country for you people that want to tear down the American ingenuity or want to block down the entrepreneurs. We have to save our country. American ingenuity and the entrepreneurs are the people that save our country, plain and simple. And I'm attacking the Republican Party, and I'm attacking the Democratic Party, or AKA Communist Party, as far as I'm concerned. But we have to save our small businesses. And there's awesome people like Ann Newsom and her husband. I wish I was still in a business which I was making money, but due to my unemployment, getting laid off, I could not contribute. Then my health went down. But I mean, if I had a job right now, I don't care if I was crawling into work, I'd be out there working right now.
Well, I'm sure you would, Sammy. It's definitely a hell of a market out there. Yeah, I was going to add in something Iron Fist put back in the chat, and it says, "Can Google made in USA and first? I'm guessing few links as well. They are great American products, American made products from small businesses all over America." Thank you again for putting that in, Iron Fist.
Oh, Iron is awesome.
Yeah, I've seen him on the show circuit, which is great to see. People doing that, because I tell you what, it's much better for people to be spending their time, in my opinion, on these blog talk radio shows and sitting spending hours and hours. And I understand people need to get away from stuff and relax every once in a while. Maybe watch a show or something like that, a TV show. So, but, I mean, some people spend the whole evening on a show, and I think that the time is much better spent being on shows such as these, and, of course, yours, Sammy, and also on Mark Prasik's show, and Charlotte Dively's and Texas Rex, and a lot of those shows you can see on the website for this show, and you can find it on the homepage of Blog Talk Radio Show for Bard's Logic Political Talk. You'll see a link to the website. And on the second page, you have about the show. And if you scroll, you can read about the show, my show if you'd like. But what I'm talking about is you scroll all the way down, and you will see a link says to the Conservative Conversation. Click that, and you will have and that will provide you get access towards the Conservative Conversation, which includes this show and who you're hearing right now, Samuel Sanford's show.
Okay. Well,
oh, and
Robert,
just speaking of that, I just seen Tex and Rex come in. It's either one of them or both of them. Welcome. Thank you very much. And Tex and Rex, tonight is my open promotion show. So if you'd like to come in and promote your new show, that'd be great. As well as, promoting blogs and businesses and the authors, anybody who wants to come in, and even if they have a fundraiser, they could come in and tell about the fundraiser that they're doing as well. So feel free to call in if you'd like. If not, that's okay. I appreciate you for coming in. So go ahead, Sammy.
Okay, well, I'm going to get a little advertisement, then I got to get off here just for a minute, and I got to call my mom back because she tried calling in a minute ago, and I don't want to keep – she's 85 years old.
Oh, no doubt. I understand that.
Yeah. But – Tex and Rex have their show every Friday and Saturday night when Robert's not on live, and Robert still posts his previous shows, some of his best rebroadcasts from some of his best shows. Tex and Rex are awesome patriots. Rex is from the great state of Virginia, and of course, Tex is from the great state of Texas. And please make sure you keep on supporting Robert's show. This man is going places. He will probably be on live air in about 6 months.
I appreciate that, Sammy. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You're the one who got me in this, Sammy. After listening on your show and you allowing me to come into your show and talk on that, which got me going doing this show. So thank you very much.
Okay. Well, definitely. I will call right back in and just a minute. Let me talk to my mom real quick, and I'll call right back in.
No problem. Thank you very much, Sammy. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, he was talking about the Tex and Rex show, which he told you the time, and do see them in the chat. And if you would like to call in to promote more about their show, that's great. So if not, that's fine, too. But while I'm looking for that, I will promote something I've got going on, which for me it's a big deal, and it's a big deal for the show too and for the audience, is at the end of every show, I play a song by Aubrey Ashburn. And, well, she will be on next Thursday's show because she has agreed to do an interview on next Thursday, August the 9th. And we're going to be talking about her career. And we're also going to talk a little bit about her interest in environmental protection, because Thursdays are on Blog Talk Radio. Not all of Blog Talk Radio, but it is on Bard's Logic Political Talk, Green Thursdays, which we cover environmental topics. So that will be something we'll cover a little bit in our interview with her. And I'm very excited about it, because I've loved her works for years. So it's a personal excitement for me, just to have someone who, I've admired their work for a time, and now I get the opportunity to interview her. And I think it'd be great for the audience to put you hear the voice because she sings, but to actually have the personality and actually hear, just a dialogue with a person that you hear on a nightly basis. You hear the voice on a nightly basis, and now you'll be able to hear them in a dialogue as well, in a conversation. So I believe I have either Tex or Rex on the line here. I know I see a area code, but I'm not quite versed on all the area codes yet, but I'm working on it. So without further ado, I will let them in. I'm clicking. Hello, Tex or Rex?
It's Rex, Robert. How are you?
I am great. How are you? Thank you for calling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for the plug.
I was just listening to
you guys talking about what's going on, and it was I had a few minutes, and so whenever I have a few minutes between 8 and 10, I pop in on Bard's Logic and get a feel for what's going on, especially Thursdays, because I think it's important what you're doing there, and I know you and I don't see eye to eye on it, but I think that that's a beautiful thing about our country, is that we can have these open debates and discussions and find the best solutions. And I think that the solution for the problem today was everybody went out and bought Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my gosh. That was absolutely incredible. I was looking at some of the pictures and all the long lines and everything. And, yes, please, tonight, if you're in a area where it's still going to be dinner time or dinner time is over after the show, please go out and have some Chick-fil-A. Is that how they say it?
Chick-fil-A.
Definitely have some Chick-fil-A tonight. I don't have any that's real close to me. That's, so time was short. So go ahead.
Maybe you should get yourself a store.
There you go.
you have an open market there, Robert.
there you go.
Yeah, look, it's a great company. I actually know several people who own Chick-fil-A restaurants, and it's a great company. They're closed on Sundays so that every employee, including the owner-operator and all the employees, get to go home and spend time with their families instead of most fast food and retail businesses. It's running almost 24/7, so someone's always got to have to sacrifice. Yet they're very successful, and I would suspect their sales today will be huge.
Oh, my God.
Because and the issue here is not even what triggered it. What triggered it was something to do with comments made by one Chick-fil-A executive about his personal views, which I suspect most people in the company share, but he wasn't speaking as a company spokesperson. He was speaking on his personal views. But it's not even about that. It's about the very simple fact that we have freedom of speech. The reason that you're on Blog Talk Radio, the reason that Tex and Rex are on Blog Talk Radio, and Sammy and everybody else, is because you can get on here and say whatever you want. You pay for the airtime, and you talk, and guess what? If someone likes it, they tune in. If they don't, they turn it off. And by the same token, I get to go to Chick-fil-A if I want, and if I don't, I don't go. And that's the whole point. You can't have mayors of cities telling you what businesses can and can't enter. Now, of course, you know, there is some discretion for government. Obviously, you can't open up a heroin store in downtown Chicago. That would not be appropriate. You know, and then, of course, you know, certain, quote, adult entertainment, you know. But what kind of food police do we need? You know, it's like, you know, fast food is making people fat. Well, actually, it's not. And you don't have to eat it. You know, Chick-fil-A didn't hold a gun to anybody's head today and say, come eat our french fries and our yummy peach shakes. That was a choice. And, you know, I know we today's an open night, but generally we're talking about, you know, Newt Gingrich and an open convention. Well, the whole point of an open convention is we want a choice. And apparently very few people choose Mitt Romney. I suspect you could run a Chick-fil-A sandwich against him and it would win.
Indeed, indeed. Well, speaking of open, I think I have Sammy back on the line, and then I have another call in. But the people on hold, I will let you on the line. However, if you would still give Rex here the courtesy of letting him promote his show before chiming in, I'd really appreciate that, okay? And so I'm going to let you all in, but go ahead and let Rex finish doing so.
Robert, I appreciate that very much. Well, Tex and Rex, we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us under Tex and Rex, the Tex and Rex Show, this Friday and this Saturday, and we broadcast in this time slot, 8 to 10. Robert broadcasts 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Sunday through Thursday, and we are live on Friday and Saturday in the same time slot. And you never know what you're getting with Tex and Rex because we're always irreverent, relevant, and radioactive. But our intention is to talk about how it is that the idea of an open convention became unattractive to the Republican elites and how this party that has been home to conservatives and to an extent libertarians has suddenly appeared to be a different kind of a party. So we're going to be talking about the false left-right paradigm and basically trying to maybe nail down a little bit of what conservatism and libertarianism are and why they're integral to the party, whereby rhino liberalism is anathema. So that's what we're trying to focus on. So if you're interested in learning about that and if you want to call in, please hit us up on Blog Talk Radio, Tex and Rex, 8 to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Thanks, Robert.
Oh, you're welcome. And real quick, Rex, and then two things. One, while I'm thinking about it, if you have your phone number memorized, and since these are archives and people listen to the archives and they'll have a better opportunity to write it down, would you like to tell the folks what the phone number, what the call-in number for your show is? Or?
Well, I would love to tell them what the phone number is. Do I have it memorized? Not even remotely close.
Well, I know you guys have only been doing it a couple times. But
yeah, this Friday will be our third show. I could probably look up our number, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
No, that's fine. I shouldn't have even pressed it up. But I thought, you know, it took me a while, too. It definitely took me some time. But even now, I still look at it and be like, okay, I got it. Okay,
yeah,
well, great. If you go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not an easy number to just have roll off your tongue. I know. And you know what? I know Sammy's number better than I know ours, but actually looking it up, I can. Hey, Sammy, I'll tell you, our number is 646-649-1013.
And Sammy, I hear you on there. So Samuel Sanford, if you'd like to give his call in number, that's fine too.
I don't have my call number.
Oh, that's okay. I
look at phone numbers all night long.
I bet. Yes, you do. Every night. Every night, Sunday through Saturday. But hey, gentlemen, yes, if you'd like to stay on the line, that'd be great. I've got someone calling in from 917. But real quick, 917, before you chime in, there's somebody put something in the chat a little bit ago, so I'd like to include them as well. And Iron Fist put a website, www.texasjeans.com. And for the folks who just came in, the reason why we're putting those websites out there is we're looking for, you know, putting out websites of people made in the USA, products that are still made here in the United States. And then there's another one that's www.longhornmedia.com. jeans. And Artifice also put a link to Chick-fil-A. And also for Rex and Tex, he has his Iron Fist, if you're not a friend of his. It's ironfist.america is his Facebook page. And he'd like to find a link to your show. So
I will make that happen. I will make that happen. And
great. You can put it in the chat. So.
Okay.
And Iron Fist is also on my Twitter page, and you can dig up Iron Fist on Twitter, too.
Okay.
Iron Fist is an awesome patriot.
Oh,
well,
I will
definitely do that, Sammy.
Okay, well, I just see 917. Oh, great, awesome. Let me let 917 back in.
Hi, this is Teresa 917. I'm just listening for the time being.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have all these numbers memorized. I'm not nearly as versed on it as Sammy
is.
She's
from
the
great state of New York.
The great state of New York.
From the People's Republic of New York.
There you go.
She is an awesome person, and she's all over the new pages, and I love her dearly.
Well, and I do know, I've seen her there before, and I do know, Sammy, when you do the introduction for me sometimes, you say from the great state of Ohio, and I know I have to decline that sometimes because, you know, with them going for Obama in 2008 and then Romney in 2012, I can't comfortably say the great state of Ohio right now, at least when it comes to the politics of it.
Well, I'm talking about the people from the state.
That's true.
And that's what I'm talking about. And the patriots of Ohio have been disenfranchised. So have the people of the great state of Florida.
And the great Commonwealth of Virginia, Sammy. We got totally disenfranchised here. I couldn't even vote for Newt Gingrich in the primary. They took him off of my ballot.
Well, I will say one person who I am very happy to say has come out of Ohio. That I'm proud to say came out of Ohio. And that person is Aubrey Ashburn, who I'm going to be interviewing Thursday. She's actually from Ohio, so I was pretty excited to, you know, not a hometown, but at least from the same state, has gone out and you know, she's made a mark for herself. And I'm very excited to be interviewing her next Thursday.
That is awesome. But us people, we have to be worried about our small businesses. We got to shut in order to worry about our small businesses, we got to shut down the government regulations that are coming from the Barack Obama machine, and that will stay in force under the Mitt Romney machine.
Yep.
And small businesses employ 70% of America.
Makes you wonder why we call them small business, Sammy. If it's 70% of the economy, that's pretty big.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
But Barack Obama is attacking them from everything he can do. I mean, he even made a mistake and said, "You did not create your business." And now that witch up there in Massachusetts that's running on the Democratic Party, running against Scott Brown, is saying the same thing. But who comes from Massachusetts? Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think their ideologue is that much difference?
There's no difference.
There is no difference. We have to protect our small business owners. We have to protect the American people. Otherwise, we're going to be in a fight that we have never thought about being in. Our country is going to be in a rough ride. And the road is not going to be smooth. And you're going to see things like Greece and like other countries and Western Europe where the people have rose up because they feel like they're entitled to something. I am not entitled to anything. I mean, hell, I can't even get food stamps. I don't get anything except my unemployment. And that runs out in 7 weeks. I mean, what? And I don't claim I'm entitled to unemployment, but I mean, if the benefit's there, I'm going to go ahead and take it.
Well, you've worked for that, Sammy.
You paid for it. You paid for it. Every paycheck you got, your employer forked over money to the government for that unemployment. So, you know, your employer, had they not given it to the government, then it would have been in your pocket, and then you could pay for your own unemployment. But they took it. They took it. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate problem.
And right now, our country is being robbed. It is being robbed of its potential. Barack Hussein Obama, is robbing our country of our potential. Mitt Romney will do the same thing. And when we have to protect our small businesses, and we also got to protect our big corporations that are paying their taxes. And most people don't understand that 90% of the taxes are paid by the top 10% of the people in our country. Then 49% of the American citizens, if they're working, do not pay any taxes. So you tell me what's wrong with that picture.
I'll tell you what's wrong with that picture, Sammy. The problem is that half the people are paying taxes. It's not that the other half aren't paying taxes, it's that half are. How about we make the other half not pay them either?
I mean, half the country, 51% of the country are paying taxes. 49%, they're getting, sure it's nice to get unearned income credit and get $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a year. So you can go out and buy you a big screen or buy you a new computer. Sure it's nice to go out and buy yourself a new used car. But what is more important, the freedom of your children, the freedom of small business, and the freedom of your country? And if you want to you want a bailout from big government to hit small business and to even hit the big businesses, which pay 90% of the income tax revenues that are collected. People, wake up.
Well, I know one thing Newt Gingrich talked about was the 15% flat tax.
You know, I don't mind
the
flat tax.
I'll just throw that out there. We're talking about, taxation. So I'm saying that's the income tax, not the corporate tax.
Well, I mean,
right now, I think Ireland does a 12.5% corporate tax, but it's in Ireland.
Well, if you put a flat tax or a fair tax in there, that's fine with me. But here, don't mute me. I'm just going to transfer lines real quick.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Rex or Teresa, if you guys want to chime in anything that Sammy was hitting on, go ahead.
Well, sure, in that vein, I mean, first of all, I want to point out, and Iron Fist pointed out, Texas jeans. Let me just tell you, buy them. They're American-made, they're cheaper than the crap in the department stores, and they are awesome, and I have several pair, and they're the only jeans that I will wear, because that money goes to an American company, and it goes to American workers, and that's what needs to be done. as far as the tax goes, look, we pay a lot of taxes. You know, there's a lot of taxes. If you add up the taxes that you pay, not including your income tax, it's a boatload of money. Look at your phone bill, your electric bill, your real estate property, sales taxes, car taxes, excise tax. There's a lot of taxes. And the fact is that I'm actually okay with most of those taxes because they don't require me to report anything. But the income tax is un-American. It's unconstitutional, and it's a clear violation of several of our amendments, especially the Fifth Amendment, because essentially you voluntarily pay your taxes and you've just made a confession in violation of the Fifth Amendment, you know, that you're basically a criminal because, let's face it, you never file your taxes right because nobody knows how to file their taxes right, not even the Secretary of Treasury. So,
yeah,
it's all, you know, however you fill it out, you're doing something wrong and they can get you on it, and you're basically violating your Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate yourself. So the problem with the income tax is it's not designed to create revenue for the government because it isn't revenue for the government. Our income taxes barely cover the interest on the debt. It is designed to strip you of your wealth and force you to disclose basically a financial profile of your life to the federal government. It's wrong. So when we talk about 47% don't pay income taxes, well, let's make sure the other 53% don't pay income taxes either. Let's make the Chinese pay taxes to sell their crap in our free market. How about that? How about
there
the Chinese pay the taxes? So, you know, go ahead, Sammy.
After they pirated our software and our videos and everything else.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we need to put a duty or whatever you want to – a duty is what you're going to call it, an import tax on everything we import from, like China. I mean, they hijacked our software. They hijacked our videos, and they reprint them. It's okay. I mean, sure, I've copied a DVD here at my house. I rented from Blockbusters or got off of Netflix, but I don't turn around and sell them. And the Chinese market has destroyed the U.S. corporations by their pirated bullcrap.
Yep. And the fact is that's helped. It's helped by Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. I mean, the thing that everybody needs to understand, and I've been getting a lot of flack on Twitter about this. Oh, you got to support Mitt Romney. If you're not supporting Mitt Romney, you're supporting Barack Obama. What difference does it make whether I support Mitt Romney or Barack Obama? They're exactly the same. I support neither one. They're both corporatists, and you know, they're not capitalists. And Obama may be a Marxist. He definitely uses Marxist rhetoric, but. They're corporatists. What they do is that they structure government regulation and government policies to eliminate private small business and create a cartelization so that a few large corporate players control a particular industry or a particular market. It is using government not to create a free market, but it is using government to eliminate the competition of the chosen few, and it turns the entire system of the free market into a system of patronage so that it is the biggest corporations with the most influence in Washington and the biggest special interest groups with the most influence in Washington that get all the economic advantages. So it's no longer about the best. It's no longer about someone taking a great idea like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in their garage in California in the late 70s and revolutionizing the personal computer business. It's no longer about a couple of bicycle mechanics from Ohio, Robert, who go to North Carolina and learn how to fly and revolutionize human travel. So it becomes about favoritism and political connections, and it becomes a system that is the epitome of greed. When Gordon Gekko in Wall Street said greed is good, he was speaking as a corporatist, not as a free marketer. The free market isn't about greed, because if you want to succeed in the free market, it isn't about your profits. To succeed in the free market, you have to provide the greatest benefit to the greatest number of people. And the consumer decides what that is, not you. You can't push something on them. You saw it today with Chick-fil-A. Look, everybody could have gone to McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, In-N-Out, Five Guys. There's a zillion fast food options if you want a quick meal, and most of them have drive-thrus. Why did people choose to wait in line? I think I waited in line today in the drive-thru a good 30 minutes to get my sandwich. Why did people do that today? Because it meant something. It's my choice. What? I choose where to spend my money. That's the free market, and that's exactly what Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are against.
Well, let me put a plug in to Chick-fil-A. You can go to McDonald's, and you got a bunch of kids running around the front end trying to handle the orders. You go to Chick-fil-A, you got kids, I don't care if they're African American, Asian, or Caucasian, they're very polite, they're very groomed, and they're very dressed. Every Chick-fil-A, I don't care if the person is overweight, but they're always very well groomed, and they give you the best service that they can give you.
Well, I did see a picture. Oh, no, go ahead, Sammy.
You don't get that from McDonald's. You do not get that from Burger King. Chick-fil-A has standards. And what is wrong? And a lot of the Chick-fil-A's are franchises. But they have to own up. When they buy that franchise, they have to own up to the company's standards. And if they break it, they lose the franchise.
One thing, Sammy, is I will give McDonald's, or at least a picture of something I've seen that one store, maybe a franchise of McDonald's, put up. There was a sign that says, I think Rex might have heard of this, and you too, Sammy, but it said something like, I'm paraphrasing, something like, we support Chick-fil-A, now boycott us. Let me repeat that a little more refined. It says, we support Chick-fil-A. Sorry, someone's on the wrong pipe. We support Chick-fil-A. Now boycott us. Excuse me.
Yeah, Robert, I think that was the sign where they said, we support Chick-fil-A. Now try to boycott us. Right under the golden arches. And I think that's pretty awesome, because that's the thing about a free market. Yeah, that's the thing about a free market is that you're competing with your competitor. You don't have to use the government to destroy them. You just offer a different product, and you know what? Some days, I actually want a McDonald's burger. Not too often, because, frankly, I don't think it's the best burger out there, but, you know, it's cheap, relatively cheap. It's easy to get. Sometimes I like it, so I'll pick one up. It's my choice. You don't like McDonald's? Okay, go get a Whopper. Your choice. It's a beautiful thing, and so they can outcompete each other by offering a better product. And as you said, Sammy, you know, sometimes they don't have the best service. Sometimes in certain places it's better. I can tell you that here, I live very close to the ninth circle of hell. It's commonly referred to as the Capitol Beltway, and the service we get around here sucks. the disease that spreads out of that area that we call the District of Corruption, Washington D.C.
But you know where I like to eat at when I'm in D.C. I've already told you that.
Bull feathers, baby.
Oh, I love bull feathers.
So, but the fact is that, look, you know, if there's a certain McDonald's that doesn't give good service, you go to another one. The reason that Chick-fil-A does so well is because they don't allow corporations to pick up several different locations and franchisees. They actually limit their owner-operators to no more than two stores. So you've got somebody who owns and operates two stores, and the reason they do that is they want their quality kept high. You can go to any Chick-fil-A across the country, and they're all excellent. They're all run the same, and it's a great model. You know, a small business, because they come out of Georgia, and you look at, for instance, Wendy's. You know, Dave Thomas, he ran a great operation. This is what it's about, and I know that we Americans get flack around the world for making people fat with our fast food. Well, guess what? You don't have to buy it. And the fact is that it doesn't make you fat. That's the really key thing. I know a while back some guy did a supposed
supersize.
Documentary. Yeah, Supersize Me. Well, you know what? If you eat two burgers and the large fries and 42 ounces of high fructose corn syrup laden soda, yeah, that's going to mess you up. It's going to mess up your entire hormonal structure. But there was another woman who made a counter movie called Downsize Me, and she ate at McDonald's for 30 days. She ate every single item on their menu, but she never always supersized it and drank the huge soda and all that kind of stuff, and she actually lost weight and her cholesterol went down. So if we're talking about a country where you have personal responsibility, you make the call. You decide to avoid McDonald's 6 days of the week, and one day maybe you go, hey, you know what, today I'm going to give myself a break because I like those fries. Of course, I think that the fries used to be better when I was a kid because they didn't cook them all these vegetable oils. They used to cook them in lard, and they were much better. And the fact is that something cooked in lard is a lot better for you than something cooked in vegetable oil, because lard, despite what most people think, it does not make you fat. What makes you fat is high fructose corn syrup, manufactured by corporations that are protected by the government. You know, we used to have Coca-Cola in this country made with sugar. It tasted really good. Now what's it made with? High fructose corn syrup. It tastes like crap. And the fact is your body can't stop you from having high fructose corn syrup. When you consume real sugar, your body will eventually say, okay, whoa, too much sugar, slow down, stop, we're going to start feeling sick. With high fructose corn syrup, you can keep taking it in, and you don't feel bad, and that's what messes you up.
All right, well Rex, I'm agreeing with you 100%. Let me interject this here to you. Chick-fil-A is from Atlanta, Georgia. And what else is from Atlanta, Georgia? That's a question to you. Coca-Cola.
The cheerful Coca-Cola, that's right. And the Communist News Network.
Yeah, exactly. But after, in the early days of Chick-fil-A, when you went to Chick-fil-A, they were more, in the very early days here in Atlanta, Georgia, they sold all parts of the chicken. And that was awesome. But I've grown up on Chick-fil-A, and in Atlanta, they got a restaurant chain called Dwarf Houses, where they serve a full menu, whether you're eating beef or eating chicken. But also Coca-Cola, being from Atlanta, when I was a teenager, the president of Coca-Cola worldwide went to my church. And he invited me up to his office one day, and he gave me a Coca-Cola that was sweetened with real sugar. Mm-hmm. And you cannot beat that Coca-Cola. And
well,
you cannot.
I don't mind trying Coca-Cola sweetened with honey. I wonder if that tastes like.
But you can also go to Sam's Club and buy what they call a Mexican Coca-Cola.
A Mexican Coca-Cola?
Yeah, it's bottled in Mexico. It comes in a glass bottle, which is the best kind of Coke you can ever get. It's made by Coca-Cola standards, and it's sweetened by sugar. And it's like you're drinking a Coke from the 60s or early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It
have a
is.
Coke and a smile, make you feel good, make you feel. Remember that guy? Have a Coke and a smile.
All right, Robert, you trying to make me feel old, Robert?
No, I remember that song.
I remember it too.
Hey, I'm old.
I'm not saying you guys
I'll
are
be 52
older
years
than I am.
Old, 72 in September, so I am old. Y'all are young to me.
Oh, no, I remember the Coke in the little hourglass, not hourglass, because that's not really the stuff with
the
shape of the bottle.
Wave glass, right.
The wave, yeah, okay.
Yep, I mean, they put everything in plastic or cans now, but if you have a Sam's Club, which is directly related to Walmart, you have a Sam's Club card, you can go back there and buy these Mexican Coca-Colas, and they taste just like the Coke we drank back in the 70s and 60s. I mean, I can remember going and putting a dime into a Coca-Cola machine and getting a Coke, a 10-ounce Coke in a bottle out of the machine.
Well, remember when you could bring that bottle back for a dime?
It was never a dime.
No, I remember when you'd get a bottle of Coke. I remember as kids, I'd be able to get a bottle of Coke, and then when you were done, you could get a 10-cent refund on that bottle and then go buy some candy. That's what I remember when I was a kid. But
I can remember a piece of Bazooka bubble gum for $2, 2 cents each. Not $2, but 2 cents each.
Oh, I remember 50 cents could buy you a lot of candy, at least a lot of candy in kids' terms, for, you know, one trip to the store. So I'm not talking about Halloween night. You know, Halloween night, we come in the whole pillowcase full of candy. But I digress. That's not what the show's about tonight.
Well, it could be. I mean, the fact is that the reason those prices are so high is because of the Federal Reserve. That's what caused the price of everything to go up. That's why we're having all the problems we're having.
Has anyone heard more about go ahead, Sam. I was just going to ask if anyone's heard any more about the Fed, you know, about the auditing the Fed.
But getting on to what you're probably going to get on to tomorrow is Green Thursday.
That's right.
Why cannot we have soft drinks put back in bottles and charge a deposit for it? That will take away a lot of waste that is going into our dumps.
Oh, I could probably tell you. I think they use plastic more now. I mean, you know, one is a conspiracy theory thing, so I won't talk about that one. But two is we're such a litigious society. You know, one of those they put them in plastic is, you know, kids would have these glass bottles. And they'd get cut, you know, they'd break the bottles, get cut, and then they'd want to go off and sue somebody, like sue the store or sue the company itself because their kid got cut on a glass bottle.
Well, let me ask another question. I can remember back in the late 70s or early 80s, we'd go out and buy a case of Long Neck Budweiser's. That would come in a case. I think our deposit on each bottle was like 2 or 3 cents. Get the people to drink their beer and put them back in the case and bring the case back to the beer store where you bought it at.
That I do not know.
and Rex is probably more younger than that to remember that. I can remember buying a Budweiser that wasn't a Long Neck. It was in a glass bottle. But they had Long Necks around. But you had to pay a deposit on the case itself, and you had to pay a deposit on the bottles that were in the case. And that's another way we could get back to being green. Are you there, Rex?
I'm here, and I think that's good stuff, but the fact is that these solutions should be developed on a local level, and the reason we have these monolithic national policies eliminates that local innovation. Because what if, you know, Ohio does a better job, you know, keeping costs down and recycling or whatever because of their local policies and nearby Iowa doesn't? Well, people are going to get a little upset with Iowa and they're going to say, well, why aren't you more like Ohio? And so the fact is, if you've got 50 incubators in the states and God knows how many in localities trying different things to see what the highest and best use is, you're going to get the best policies out of that. When you have one monolithic national policy, you're going to get favoritism to the corporations that benefit from it. And that's the problem. And that's the problem we have with this election.
But let me interject this.
In different states either.
But Robert and I have talked about in the past about recycling. Mm-hmm. And what does your container have to have on it, a level 2 or level 1?
In Ohio, we only recycle up to plastics 1 and 2.
Okay, well, here in Florida, you can put anything in the recycle bin. And that's what's so screwed up about it. And granted, I mean, I've already seen videos where they take some of these recyclables and they take them and go and throw them in the landfill anyway.
Yeah, that's a shame. I've seen that.
All right, well, folks, I'm getting ready to shut down and get ready for my show.
Thank you very much for coming in, Sammy.
You're very welcome, Robert. But please, people, go to Robert's show every night. Robert, he is on Sunday through Thursday. And please go to Tex and Rex on Friday and Saturday. And we got to promote each other. We got to stand firm on what our beliefs are. And as far as I see it, I am never going to shut up. And you can put a gun to my head and blow my brains out, but I'm not going to shut up.
Sammy will God come bless. And haunt you if you do that, right, Sammy? You still won't shut up.
Yep, damn right. But God bless you all, and we're going to keep on rocking, and we will see y'all at 10 o'clock.
Take care, Sammy. I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night,
bye,
Rex.
Man.
And we'll see you at 10 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Rex.
I'm still here, Robert.
He's gone. I see it on there. Okay, great, great. Well, yeah, what I like to do on Wednesdays is promote people who have their own small businesses. One of which, since we're talking about environmental, is a company that's in California, and what it is, it's called Global Eco Solutions, and what they have is subsurface pressurized irrigation. And you can develop to a great industry. What it does is it irrigates, whether it's a crop or a field or orchid orchard, but it does it below ground. And the reason that's environmentally friendly is one of the things it does is it, conserves water because you have to use about 80% less water than you normally would do. Plus, it also keeps, it pretty much eliminates, at least for those who use the system, runoff and erosion, because you're not having, that water, going down off, out of the field. And if you've also put chemicals in that field, those chemicals aren't being run off into the local ecosystems and contaminating them as well. And also it has a delivery system which actually delivers the nutrients to the plant, whatever it is, whether it's a tree or, a corn crop or what have you. And so also that also eliminates, contamination where a chemical, can, drift by winds or be carried by water into the surrounding ecosystems and contaminate them with nutrients that otherwise shouldn't be introduced in there because of the adverse effects, since it is the wilds and not like a crop that you can do so. And that's kind of a bottoms-up approach that I like to see towards environmental protection, sustainability, and conservation. But as I said, that's Thursday night's show, but I'll get off on a tangent starting about talk about tomorrow night. So.
Well, there's nothing wrong with giving the audience a little tease about what's coming
true.
Up tomorrow.
And speaking of a little tease, for the people who just came in listening off Blog Talk Radio, or I'm learning there's even more ways people access this show, or these shows, is that for a plug and for the new people coming in or people who just listen to this part in the archive, is speaking of Thursdays, next Thursday I have a very special guest coming on, and if you hear listen to the end of the show, I'm guaranteed that you've heard my guest, because she's the person who sings the song you hear at the end of the show, and that's Aubrey Ashburn. And she is an award-winning vocalist and songwriter. And I will be interviewing her on August the 9th, which is next Thursday. So I hope everyone comes in and listens to the interview. I'm very excited about the show. So I'll pass it along for everyone who likes her music, or a lot of her works is in video games, such as Dragon Age, Rift, let's see what else she's done. It's Alice in Wonderland, Avatar, and there's a Lord of the Rings game that she has some works in. So I really appreciate it if you came to that show. And also for Sammy's show and Rex and Tech's show and this show, if you like our shows or like the genre of political conservative, what I'd appreciate is if you could go to each one of their home pages, and underneath their icon, you can find a little follow button. If you could just click Rex Show and mine and Sammy's, and and also Mark Prasik, which you can find as The Conservative Conversation, which you can also find on the website to this show, which you can get the link on the homepage as well. And just, you know, follow the shows. You know, it helps out the hosts, which, I, you know, it's, you know, the more follows they got, the more, you know, I think that, you know, their ratings will go. I think it's part of the rating system. You know, I really appreciate it. And it helps the people, too, getting reminders about the show, because what I believe, what the following does, all it does is you get an email reminding you that the show is going to come up. So anybody who'd like to follow my show, Rex's, Sammy's, or Mark's, we'd really appreciate it, you know. So thank you very much. Go ahead, Rex.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. You know, the fact is that Blog Talk Radio is not terrestrial radio. It's not satellite radio. It obviously doesn't have the same reach, but it has the potential to be a media-changing medium, because the simple fact is we know, and a lot of us maybe hadn't quite agreed to it 100%, but I think after we've seen what went on in this primary cycle, it should be fairly evident that the media is not there to inform you or even to entertain you. It's there to manage your mind, okay? It's the blue pill of the Matrix. It's designed to entertain you so that you just are, you know, kind of mindless, and then designed to feed you information in a manner that essentially programs you, like brainwashing. And it's right now they're still trying to do it. You know, it's like, ooh, vote for Mitt. Mitt's the guy. You like Mitt. I don't like Mitt. I'm not going to vote for Mitt, okay? I'm a thinker. I like to make my own decisions. I'm not saying I'm always right, and I'm not saying that I'm always intelligent, but I try, and it's my God-given right to process information through my own paradigm, my own filter, and use the talents that God gave me, and you have that same right too. And what Blog Talk Radio is allowing multiple voices to be heard that aren't managed by the corporate interest in media in New York on Madison Avenue and in Hollywood. And so it's important to encourage this kind of thing. And if you have a divergent view, hey, you know what? You can just sign up for your own Blog Talk Radio show. We decided to do it because, you know, I was on Sammy's and Robert was doing his show, and I thought, yeah, you know what? I love calling in as a guest, but I think that more needs to be done, because more information needs to be out there, because people need to know what the truth is. And right now, the other camp is getting so shrill. The attacks are increasing dramatically, and I believe some of these people are professionally paid to do this, you know, to come after you. If you're supporting anybody but Mitt Romney right now, you're supporting Obama. That's the absolute lie. But they say it so much that you might be tempted to start believing it. It might wear you down. That's what they're counting on. Don't let it wear you down. Listen into the Blog Talk Radio. Feel motivated. Contact your delegates. We can make this happen. The power is ours, and we want a candidate who's going to allow our businesses like Chick-fil-A and even Coca-Cola, who may not want to use high fructose corn syrup, but it's ridiculously expensive to use sugar. So we want these regulations removed so that people can make free choices and do what's best for them and their community. And that's what we need to revitalize this country. And I think Blog Talk Radio and Facebook and Twitter, these are good mediums for that. Of course, there's a lot of garbage on there too, but like anything else, it's a tool. It's how you use the tool. And I think, Robert, what you're doing here every night and what Sammy does is a great use of this tool, especially when you offer a variety. I mean, I don't know anywhere else where you're hearing about green conservatism. It's almost like, you know, all of us who are right-leaning have kind of a gut reaction when we hear the word green to just run the other way, because it is code for communism. But that's not true. It doesn't have to be. And so on your Thursday shows, you're reclaiming the ground that belongs to us. We are the real stewards of the environment, because the environment is here to serve people. And what the left has done is turned the environment into an emotional cause in order to hurt people. And I think you're reclaiming it, and that's important. So I encourage everybody, grab your friends, tell them about all the various shows, let them investigate it themselves. If they don't like it, guess what? You can always turn it off. But if you hear something interesting, it might inspire you. It might motivate you. And if you feel so inspired to share, you can always call in or even sign up for your own show. I think it's fantastic, and I'm really glad that you're doing this, Robert.
But thank you. I'm glad a lot of people are getting on board and getting information out, because I think it's very important, and you touched on something that I agree with, and that is I believe that the media outlets such as Blog Talk Radio, I really believe it has the potential to be the new media of the 21st century. And the reason I think that is because, you know, you have your radio and you have your TV, And while right now they do, you know, get to a large, you know, numbers of audience, large number of people. But the one thing that this type of medium has over radio is the radio dial and the TV is it's so interactive. You really get to interact with the audience, not only in the phone, but I like the chat aspect as well, where you can, you know, at times, you know, interact with the people in chat too, which I try to do as much as I can. Sometimes I can't get to them. But, you know, that's part of it. And then also the people who are in chat, they can, you know, banter back and forth between each other and have a dialogue and, you know, and be a part of the conversation. And that's something you just don't get on the radio or the TV.
Absolutely true.
So I think, you know, once it expands, I really think that this medium is definitely in its infancy, I would say. You know, I know Blog Talk Radio has been around for a couple of years, but, I mean, when you compare that to the amount of time radio and television has been around, then, you know, I think, as I said, there's a lot of potential there.
Yep, I agree. And speaking of that potential, I've got to actually do a few things so I can join you a little bit later on Sammy's tonight. But I thank you for having me on, and I thank you very much for the plugs. You know, we've only done two shows last Friday and last Saturday, but we've had a 300% increase from our live plays to our archive plays, which I just think is very exciting. And I owe to you and to Sammy, because I know that you're getting the word out there. And, you know, we're just trying to inform people. And the most important thing I think we can all do right now to keep this conversation moving is we've got 25 days till the convention. That's not a long time, but in politics it could be an eternity. And Romney's failing. So what we all need to do is let our delegates know how flawed a candidate he is. And not from an emotional perspective, just pragmatically. The guy's a terrible candidate. He can't win, and we need somebody who can win. It's almost ridiculous, because none of us like Romney because we don't think anything will change. But the simple fact is he can't even get there. So it doesn't matter what his policies are. They might even be good policies. It wouldn't make a difference. He can't get there. We need somebody who can get there. So I think it's very important that we keep that pressure up, and we need somebody who's going to roll back Leviathan government so that things like the conservative environmentalism can flourish, because right now it's not flourishing. Environmentalism is 100% statist, 100% socialist, and so we need to take that back. Things like what we talked about today, where Chick-fil-A is being banned from certain cities. Mayors don't have that right. They can't do that to a store like Chick-fil-A. So we need to keep pressing this for all the things that are important to us and our families and our communities, and we got 25 days to make an open convention happen, and I thank you for talking about it, Robert, and I hope everybody out here listening does something today to help Newt Gingrich get to the convention.
Well, thank you very much, Rex. I appreciate you for coming in and tell Tex that I said hello, and we look forward to hearing him on Friday and Saturday evening at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, thanks, Robert. Good night. I'll talk to you later.
Good night. Talk to you later. Take care. Okay, folks, and speaking of the chat, I will go in the chat and see what's going on. So let me scroll up here. A lot of talk about Coca-Cola now. I know people are talking about Coca-Cola. But someone mentioned about, we'll bring to the chat and then bring it to the green, conservatism. Delicatessa says that she cringes every time he, and I'm presuming she means me, are talking about environmental concerns or green. Why you would cringe, Tessa, if you'd like to put that in the chat, we appreciate it. We can address that. That's fine. But I come from a different approach than what you normally hear about green initiatives. See, I believe that the way that the environmental movement or environmentalism in environmental protection, sustainability, and conservation is being approached through a top-down mechanism, which is mostly about controlling the people, when really, in fact, it's not about environmental protection at all. I believe in a more bottoms-up approach toward environmental protection, conservation, and sustainability, in which you have businesses such like I've talked about earlier, in which, you know, it's done by science and technology, innovation, you know, such as, you know, the irrigation system I described earlier. which not only can this guy possibly get rich from, you know, this product, from this service, it can also become, you know, from it becoming an industry. Right now it's a business, but it can actually become an industry and change the paradigm in the way that we water crops and trees and orchards, and things of that nature. So it's both great for business and it's great for the environment, which is part of Green Conservative, and that's it's part of the bottoms-up approach towards environmentalism. Plus, one something Newt Gingrich talked about, which he got laughed at in the primary when he was in Florida, and he was talking about putting a colony on the moon. Well, he wasn't just doing that to pander the people into the space coast. That's something that's been talked about for a long time, especially when Newt Gingrich was given the date 2020. That's not just an arbitrary date. That's been a date that's been debated and discussed as a date that this could be a possibility. And it's not in the United States that are talking about going and putting a moon base on. And that is for, China's talked about it, Russia's talked about it, London, England, Great Britain, whatever, is talking about it, Canada's talking about it. So it's not just something that, he was using to pander to the space coast. And what that is those are actually industries to get out there. I mean, we're talking about, innovation, technology, science. They market. They have private businesses be the ones who go to the moon and use the resource that links, and this is what links it to environmental protection, sustainability, and conservation, is that the moon has an abundance of a substance called helium-3, okay? And what the substance does is allows for nuclear fusion. And right now, for nuclear power plants, we have nuclear fission, which creates, when you have the split of the atoms, it creates the radiation. Oh, I couldn't get that out. But it causes the radiation. Well, see, if you have nuclear fusion, you get that energy, but without the radioactivity, which makes it much more safe. And also, helium-3 burns clean. There's nothing going into the atmosphere that's harmful with the burning of helium-3. So that also protects the environment. So see, you have environmental protection and innovation, entrepreneurship, playing a large part, markets, a large part in it. So it can become where environmental protection, sustainability, and conservation could be intertwined with business and with the market and with an open market. And it's very important because, much like, the Arabs have pretty much of a stronghold on the fossil fuel of oil, we've got some, but we know where, a lot of it is. And we know a lot of the conflicts in the Middle East is because of oil. So, and that's because they control it. Now, if the United States controlled helium-3 by putting a colony on the moon, it'd be much better to have a corporate colony, not corporate, that's not the word I want to use, but, use, business-based colonies on the moon, of course, with the help of the government, because the government, I'm not saying the government, it's run by the government, but, of course, you're going to have, government help, but it's better for the United States to do it, to have a control of that fuel source than it would be to have, like, China or Russia, or even someone who might be friendlier to us, such as Canada and, Great Britain. So, that's where that goes hand in hand. Okay, so going back to the chat. Okay, speaking. Now, one of the things I like, let's see, we've got about 9 minutes left, and I have an audio here where is a gentleman who I had him on one time, and to promote his book, his name is Telly Mordecai, and he actually has some ties with the Ron Paul lawsuit against the RNC, but he also wrote a book called the Hidden Fourth Branch, and we had him on a time ago. And so what I would like to do is I would like to play the clip from that he provided to talk about what the Hidden Fourth Branch is. And then what we'll proceed to do after that is we'll probably just have enough time for the closing song, which is by Aubrey Ashburn. So here you go. But, of course, if we have anyone call in within the next 5 minutes to make a quick promotion for anything, I will stop the clip so we can get a live response or promotion from someone.
Introducing the book. Do you want to see this or this? This or this? This or this? It all depends upon corruption staying in power. Do you want to see this or this? If government officials commit corruption, what holds them accountable? The American government by the four branches. First, second, third, fourth. It is the fourth branch that holds corruption accountable. Is it the duty of the fourth branch of government to hold corruption accountable? The present Arizona State Supreme Court Chief Justice believes so. A county fourth branch is responsible for investigating possible public offenses, including corrupt or willful misconduct in office by public officials, and return a criminal indictment or true bill formally accusing someone of a crime. The powers and duties of the state fourth branch are similar to those of the county fourth branch, except they extend statewide. 9 out of 10 Americans are probably wondering, do we have a fourth branch of government? Yes. Maybe you are requiring, show me what the fourth branch has done. The fourth branch has held to account these top government officials. The Watergate boys and Nixon. Former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich. Former U.S. House Majority Leader, Tom DeLay. A further list is provided courtesy of the fourth branch. County level accountability. A district attorney. There, the fourth branch turned a prosecutor into a defendant. And many other county officials have been held to account by the fourth branch. State level examples. Federal level examples. One may be wondering, why have I never heard a summary of the fourth branch holding government officials accountable? Or, where did the fourth branch come from? Answer, England, almost 8 centuries ago. Second answer, and the founding fathers tying it to the Constitution. What do attorneys say about the fourth branch? Attorney Leo D'Onofrio of New Jersey coined the phrase, the fourth branch. Distinguished professor of law, Susan Brenner, also confirms the fourth branch as the fourth branch. Again, some will ask, why have I never heard of the fourth branch? Answer, for corruption to expand, the knowledge of the fourth branch must be suppressed. The following countries had not the fourth branch. Stalin's Russia, Hitler's Nazi Germany, Mao's China. In comparison, England's fourth branch has assisted England's longevity to over 900 years. Because of lack of a fourth branch in these countries, neither Stalin, Hitler, or Mao could be stopped. During the reign of genocide, their governments murdered over 60 million people. In America, the fourth branch held not just Nixon, but other presidents to account. Jackson, Johnson, and Clinton. The fourth branch is also in different forms. County level, state level, and federal level. There is a reason you haven't heard of the fourth branch of government. The powers that be are afraid of the fourth branch. The powers that be. They. Whoever the they are. Who are the they? You can fill in the blank. Corrupt government officials, elected officials, congressmen, corporations, etc. They are afraid of the fourth branch because it will put them and their minions in jail. The fourth branch is 796 years old, tied to the U.S. Constitution, affirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in over a dozen court cases, and they can't get rid of it. The only thing they can do is perpetrate ignorance upon the American people, and they have done this very well. What is the fourth branch? Well, let's start with the first three branches of government, commonly known as legislative, executive, and judicial. Now, practically these days, the three branches of government are Larry, Moe, and Curly. Made this way by the two main political parties of Laurel and Hardy. Entering the fourth branch as a grand jury, as necessary to investigate and hold accountable the corruption picking our pockets. holding into account corruption within any of the other three branches. When we the people learn of the power of the grand jury, or the fourth branch, they will be afraid of this. Why should they be afraid? They commit corruption, lie, cheat, and steal to get into power. How else did a governor, a president, a House Majority Leader, and a New York State Supreme Court Justice get caught? What about socialists? Do they commit corruption? Who wrote, "The ends justify the means"? Socialist Saul Alinsky, this in his book, Rules for Radicals. The grand jury is very powerful, has and will continue to thwart corruption. In summary, the grand jury pierces the silence of witnesses that witness corruption, issues subpoenas up the chain of command, accumulates evidence, and issues an indictment. That is why they, in their fear of it, have perpetrated ignorance. Hands-on approach. Anyone can file a complaint with the grand jury. There are many avenues within a jurisdiction. There are many jurisdictions in which to file a complaint. For example, a federal attorney must inform the special federal grand jury of a complaint received. The word in section 3332 is shall. Not might, not could, not good idea, but shall inform the grand jury of the complaint submitted. Notice the type of grand jury indicting Governor Blagojevich. The Founding Fathers knew full well of this power. Thomas Jefferson said this, "I consider trial by jury as the only anchor ever yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution." However, this knowledge has faded. Do you want to see this or this? Do you want to see this or this? Corruption and the powers that be do not want you to see this book. They are afraid you will learn of the power of the grand jury. They are afraid you will file a complaint. They are afraid the grand jury will issue an indictment yielding an arrest warrant. Hence the name of the book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare, available on Amazon.com.
Okay, folks, that was fascinating, including the music. And speaking of music, I will play tonight, as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. And thank you very much, everyone, for coming, and have a good night. Hope to see you again, and take care.